I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. As we count down to the new year, we'll give you a chance to listen to some of our favorite stories from 2006. The two we bring you today were inspired by Hurricane Katrina and its aftermath. Since Katrina hit in August 2005, we've been in regular contact with Dr. Joe Freeman, a physician in Baton Rouge. He founded Free Life Medical Assistance for Louisiana. The mission? To help patients get medicine and supplies they needed to survive after the storm. Dr. Freeman spoke with us shortly after Katrina and shared his frustrations.
I'm angry. I feel blessed that God allows me to do it. I cannot have the same color skin as these people that you see on television that tell you that they have no water, they have no food. If this was where we were vacationing in Connecticut this summer, and where the complexion of these people were not black, this would not be happening.
Dr. Freeman opened two free clinics soon after Katrina. One was destroyed by Hurricane Rita. But in Plaquemine, Louisiana, along Railroad Avenue, Dr. Freeman's other office was still standing when we visited in February.
This is the Free Life Medical Clinic. This was an office that I got in 1994 from a doctor. This office was physically segregated, black and white. And when I got it, obviously I tore the walls down. I don't know if you can see it. All this was full with medications. And again, in here, antibiotics, diabetic medications, formulas, everything you could think of. So we have a lot of stuff that was donated from the people from across the country. I had to strong arm the pharmaceutical companies to give me plenty of samples because I was writing samples and medications for those who had insurance, but those who didn't, particularly the elderly, they would leave here with grocery sacks full of medications. So this was, we were seeing people down here, had a very difficult time getting it out that this was actually a free clinic. You know, we were combing the Medicaid offices, Medicare offices, where we were seeing a lot of the evacuees. Then Rita hit, we're here, and then a week into this clinic, I became seriously ill and had several surgeries and went through my own personal storm. And at times, it was very difficult because at that time, after Rita, the volunteerism kind of stopped. And then we were not the hot topic, you know, but there was still a need, and there is still a need, a great need. Although it was declared a state of an emergency, we had a difficult time getting doctors credentialed to work in these clinics that I was in because it wasn't a site deemed by FEMA as a disaster site. I mean, I couldn't have that, so we made a big ruckus, and someone came from the government came out the next day and came, and I said, and finally, it was okay. This site was okay now. It was now declared a site. But it was always a hassle getting these doctors to come in. For some reason, the state felt, from what I was told, that they can take care of it themselves. Now, you look around X amount of months later, what do you see? They had a huge center, the DH, the Department of Health and Hospital, at the Jimmy Swagger building. And I see all these doctors who be coming in. They're coming in from all over the country, walking around with their fanny packs on and walking around the Jimmy Swagger building. There were no patients at the Jimmy Swagger building. It was absolutely crazy. They just didn't have it together. And they were not looking for the help to get it together. Then while I was recuperating, I was told about a FEMA clinic. But it comes to find out that I thought I was going to be taking care of people who were evacuees and so forth and so on, but it turns out that I was taking care of FEMA workers who were working at the morgue, and the Red Cross was there providing back rubs for the FEMA workers. Now, that's good, but, you know, I'm a little bit miffed because I was just told maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago that children are needing this and children are needing that, and now I don't mind taking care of FEMA employees. They need help too, you know, when they get sick, but you would not believe the waste. You would not believe what I saw. Right now, comes down to what are you going to do, you know, as an individual? And I get a call from Kaiser Permanente, a group of people in Kaiser, Northern California. They are thinking about adopting this clinic. So therefore, I will have the funds to hire the people, maybe hire a part-time displaced physician to help until and if we ever rebuild. And I just want you to understand that this is not over. I think really it's just getting deeper and deeper. I feel great about what I do. I think I'm a blessed individual. I mean, you know, look at me. And I also realize that because I'm given this opportunity, there's a lot to be expected of me to provide for the people that I take care of. And I know I could do something about this. And trust me, these past several months, I actually thought, well, you know, the hell with it. But I just can't let it go.
That was Dr. Joe Freeman, an emergency room physician in Plaquemine, Louisiana. Since we aired this story, Dr. Freeman was forced by lack of staff and support to close down the second and last remaining clinic. He also treats patients on his own, however.